So this morning, we are looking at the last part of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So for three chapters now, Paul has been giving his treatise on the topic of freedom, his kind of an essay on the topic of freedom. He started talking about whether God's people should consume food sacrificed to idols, and then use that to talk about Christians and their rights, and what rights do we have. And he talked about, on top of that, he talked about, well, yeah, we have rights, but Christians, we as people that love Jesus and want to see the whole world come to him, should be willing and ready to lay our rights down for others in an instant, because we love everyone. And how love is what drives our freedom. And so then we talked about the last couple of weeks, talking about freedom and what that means in this thing called idolatry. And we talked about what idolatry really is. And yeah, it's not worshiping little wooden carvings or some statue or some gold something or other. But it's anything that you put ahead of God. And really what it all boils down to is are you going to serve God, or are you going to serve the little God of me? Right? Which God are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the almighty, powerful creator God, or me? And if you look around, me is winning. Lots and lots and lots, all over the place. Even in churches, Christians fight and bicker and draw sides. God's people were never supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be unified. We're supposed to have unity at the Lord's table. That's what we talked about last week. This morning, we are looking at Paul's summary, his final word on the topic of freedom, and what it means for our future. Being this is one of Paul's favorite topics, this won't be the last time he mentions freedom, by no means. But it is the last part where he addresses this topic exclusively. So if you have a Bible or an app on your phone, or you can reach underneath, there should be a blue pew Bible underneath your pew. In front of you, you can follow along. It's 1 Corinthians 10, 23 through 11, 1. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. So you may eat any meat that is sold in the marketplace without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If someone who isn't a believer asks you home for dinner, accept the invitation if you want to. Eat whatever is offered to you without raising questions of conscience. But suppose someone tells you this meat was sacrificed to an idol. Well, don't eat it out of consideration for the conscience of the one who told you that. It might not be a matter of conscience for you, but it is for the other person. For why should my freedom be limited by that what someone else thinks? If I can thank God for the food and enjoy it, why should I be condemned for eating it? So whether eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I too try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. And you should imitate me, just as I imitate Christ. Here, Paul has spent the last three chapters in a long explanation about the topic of freedom. And here he sums it all up by answering three big questions. Oh, you're fine. That's like a better voice than mine. Bring it up. Here he sums it all up by answering three big questions about freedom in Christ and explains what we are supposed to do with this freedom from now on. So, three big questions about freedom in Christ. Here they are. Number one, what does freedom in Christ mean? What does freedom in Christ mean? Well, 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, "You say I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial." I agree. No, you're fine. I'm just kidding. Okay. Stuff happens. Trust me. You know what I've really missed about just during this whole 6 months of COVID stuff? I know you're really going to be shocked at this. But I miss the buffet. All right? I mean, look at that. I know. It's a good thing that I missed the buffet, right? I know that. Honestly, though, I really don't like buffets that much. You know, like, the Golden Corral, I'll pass. I always feel like it's just a bunch of warm food, all the same temperature and all the same... But there is Hotel Nauvoo. All right, I'll go there. But I'm not going to drive an hour just for no reason, right? I'm not that crazy about it. I mean, I do like it. And Tim and I, last time we went, we had a contest to see who could eat the most catfish, and he won. But the buffet I love and I'm always up for, I know this isn't going to surprise you much either, is the Chinese buffet. All right, I love the Chinese buffet. All right? I'm not Chinese, but man, I love their Americans' version of their food, right? I mean, it's delicious, right? I have a weakness for that. My dad, when we were growing up, he would take us to the Chinese buffet. And there was five kids, right? So there's five kids plus my mom and my dad and any other stragglers that we would bring along. That it costs a lot, right, to go even to the buffet, right? But my dad would always take us there, and he would always give us a pep talk before we ever leave the car. He would say, "Sobek, you must not eat rice. Rice is too cheap." "You eat shrimp, lobster, you know, crab. You eat expensive things," right? And he would always say, "Sobek, it's money back guarantee." And now I look like this, right? So we did. We went to the buffets, and we did, man. And to this day, I pass on all the frou-frou stuff. I go straight to sushi, right? Because whether you like sushi or not, what you know about this sushi is this. It's dang expensive. And so I will just load up my entire plate like two or three times with sushi, right? I'm like, I'm going to get $90 worth of sushi. Shoot. Charge me $8, right? I mean, that's what I'm doing. All sushi all the time. But does anyone like me go through the salad bar when you go to a buffet that has a salad bar just so you feel a little bit better about the hurting I'm about to put on all this bad food that I know I'm about to eat? I want you to hear something. Freedom in Christ is kind of like the buffet line. You know, there are some healthy things that you can eat. There are healthy things that you can eat in the buffet line. But most of the time, what do? Nobody's really watching. Nobody's really judging. I just expected that I eat all this really bad for me food, so that's what you do. We have freedom in Christ, and it's kind of like a buffet line in that you can do whatever. You, in this world, in this life, you are free to do whatever you want. That is why we have freedom in Christ, right? Now, I'm not saying that it's good. And if you look here, Paul says, yeah, you can do anything, but not everything is good for you. Not everything is beneficial for you. So yeah, I can go eat buffet for every meal, and I can eat the worst, you know, I can eat crab rangoon all day long. But it's not good for me. It's not beneficial. Brings me this observation. While we always have freedom to eat whatever we want, in whatever quantity we want, when we go to a buffet, my guess is that we would practice that freedom and discipline ourselves differently in, say, mid-April than mid-November, right? Mid-April, you're starting to think, you know what? I'm probably going to have to wear shorts pretty soon. Probably going to have to wear some t-shirts. Probably might have to throw on a swimsuit. I should probably watch what I'm eating. November, you're like, I got 3 or 4 months of winter left. Nobody's seeing me, right? So, you know, you just go ahead and eat whatever you want. April means summer's right around the corner. November means you got lots of winter left. And maybe you, like I have in the past, have thought to yourself, man, I've got to fit into a suit. I've got a wedding come up. I've got to really start thinking about what I'm eating so I can fit into my suit and I don't have to buy another one. Freedom, we can view it in two ways. One, we can view it as summer is coming, and yes, I'm free, and I can fit and eat whatever I want, but man, I really want to look good and be able to fit in that thing that I'm hoping for. Or we can look at it as, you know what, it's November, we're good, let's eat whatever we want and pack on the pounds. Either of these things are common attitudes at a buffet, I imagine, and if we really think about it, I think both of these are pretty common when it comes to our attitude about freedom in Christ. Perhaps depending on the time, on the season of life that we are in, we have thought both of these things, or those things, you know, I'm free in Christ, I can do whatever I want, I can live however I want, I'm free. I have plenty of time before I die. Or maybe you have thought to yourself, man, life is short. It can go in an instant. I better take life by the horns and go get it. You know, there are some times in your life when you realize your own mortality. Last week, the week before, I was going to Springfield early in the morning, and my favorite creature ran out in front of me. A raccoon, and I was like, man, this dumb raccoon, right? And so this raccoon runs out in front of me, and he's going this way, and so I swerve this way to avoid this raccoon, right? Well, you know what happens? The raccoon freezes, and then turns back and runs the other way. And so what have I done? Wham! I just smacked this thing full on. If you look at the van out there, the little 8-inch grill on the bottom is gone because it's stupid raccoon, right? But I want you to understand, like, when I got done, man, you know how that feels, right? When you're like, and you're like, You're like, your adrenaline is going, and you're kind of shaky, and you're kind of like, man, that was crazy, you know? And I'm thinking, dumb raccoon, but I'm also thinking, man, what if that had been a deer? Or what if that had been something else? And I'm thinking, man, trying to swerve away from this stupid raccoon, I ended up like driving off the road and falling down a cliff in Illinois. But like, what if that happened, you know? And I'm all amped up, and I'm like, man, life is short. I better go home and hug my kids, right? How long did that last, though? You know, by the end of the day, I totally forgot about that. I wasn't as thankful for life as I was in that moment. The question is, can we? When Jesus talks about setting us free, you know, can we really, truly, at this point, do whatever we want? Can we really, truly live however we want? I guess. But that kind of defeats the point of him setting you free in the first place. Look in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. It says, as the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. Jesus has set you free from this world, from the sorrow, from the pain, from the sin and death that all comes with being a citizen of this world. Jesus has given you a new citizenship. He has, a heavenly one. He has given you a new identity. He has given you a new family, a new way to live. Romans 6, 1-2 says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? So the question is, can we really use our freedom however we want? I guess. But that is an abuse. That is never what Christ, what our Creator, had in mind when He set us free. That wasn't what He had in mind. Look at Galatians 3:13. It says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When He was hung on the cross, He took upon Himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the Scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. So if we belong to Jesus, you and me, we belong to Jesus, if that is the case, if we confess with our mouths and we believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, then sure, we are free from pain, we are free from sin and punishment, we're free from all that we deserve. However, that is not the freedom that Christ means. Look at 1 John. This is what Christ means by saying freedom. We love each other because He loved us first. That's why He set us free. 1 John 5, 2 and 3. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey His commandments. Loving God means keeping His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. We love God because He first loved us. We keep His commands because of His great love for us. Because of the gratitude for the freedom that He has given us. That's why. Which brings us to the second question, is what is the purpose of our freedom in Christ? What is the purpose? Look at verse 31. It says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. We actually, in Sunday school class this morning, we quoted that. Do it all for the glory of God. Galatians 5:13, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Now here it is. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. What do we do? What's the purpose of our freedom? Is to serve one another in love. The purpose is to love God and to love people. That's what it always comes back to, right? That is this idea. We are free to love God however we want. There are not any kind of rules. We are free to choose where we worship, how we worship. I don't mean just on Sunday morning. I don't mean in this building. I mean with all of our lives, we get to choose. We're also free to love each other how we want, as much as we want. I love the scripture in Romans that says we are to outdo each other in love. It's like a competition, Paul says. Our freedom creates a beautiful tapestry of the body of Christ. Aren't you all thankful that we don't all worship God the same way? I mean, I know, like I'm so thankful that we have Jody, that we have Vicky, you know, that we just I don't have, like, we have Val, we have Laura, like, we they can play and like, I don't have those gifts. And I'm glad that all the entire body of Christ isn't just a bunch of me, right? Because then it's just all of us preaching at each other for half an hour and nobody ever listens, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. I'm so thankful that the body of Christ is free to serve and love God however we want. Some build things. Some create art. Some create music. Some people yammer on and on and on and on and on about Him. The purpose of this freedom is to be who you really are, the child of God that He has created you to be, the worshiper that He has designed you to be. And the purpose of our freedom is to reach the whole world for Him. You can reach people that I can't. You can. And I can reach people that you can't. Me. God's plan is for all of the world to know Him through us, His church. That's the purpose. Which brings us to the third thing. Is how do we live out our freedom in Christ? Chapter 11, verse 1, it actually, you know that in the beginning, right, when Paul wrote this letter, he didn't have like verse 11, chapter, you know, like that's not what he did. He just wrote a letter. And so we came in and we divided up. Chapter 11, verse 1 should actually be in chapter 10, it should be the last sentence, but that's how it is. Anyway, it says this, it says, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Paul tells us pretty simply here that we live out our freedom by imitating Christ. In his masterpiece called The Imitation of Christ, the 14th century German monk Thomas a Kempis wrote a whole book based on this one verse, 11:1. Aside from the Bible, this is the most Christian work that has ever been read. Like, it is the number two. You know, you got the Bible, then you got this work. In it, he expounded on the concept of living out our freedom in Christ by imitating Jesus. One of my favorites, there's a bunch of quotes in here that are just amazing, but one of my favorites is this. It says, Jesus has always many who love his heavenly kingdom, but few who bear his cross. He has many who desire consolation, but few who care for trial. He finds many to share at his table, but few to take part in fasting. All desire to be happy with Him. Few wish to suffer anything for Him. Or how about this? This is another one. It says, let your name, not mine, be praised. Let your work, not mine, be magnified. Let your holy name be blessed but let no human praise be given to me. You are my glory. You are the joy of my heart. In you I will glory and rejoice all the day. And for myself, I will glory in nothing. The question is, how do we live out this freedom? Like this. We shrug off the yoke of normalcy. We don't do things because that is what the world says that we should do. We suffer with Christ. We pick up our cross daily and we follow Him. We live like He did. We sacrifice our needs for others. We give of our time. We give of our resources. We give of our talents freely and generously. We go without so that others might have. Talking about freedom. We are free to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are free to not take credit, but to give credit to our neighbors, to even to our enemies. Because we realize that when we glorify others, we are really glorifying God. We are praising Him. We are blessing Him. And He really does become more and more the joy of our heart. We are free to cast away idols. Those of self, those of power, those of sex, those of greed. We are free to press into Jesus, to become more like Jesus, and to use this freedom that we have from Him to bless Jesus. When we are free in Jesus, we are free indeed. And that is when we truly can begin to live in this world.